Moses in Deuteronomy called the people to commit. I want y'all to think about your commitment to Christ.
Yes.
Called us to commit. God still calls us to be committed to love him.
Yes.
With all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. You see, although Moses made some serious mistakes, something similar to us, he made some serious mistakes. He lived upright and carried out God's will.
Yes.
And his commandments. Moses died with integrity, something that all of us strive for as men and as women as well. We strive for integrity. We too may make some serious mistakes. But that should not stop us from living with integrity and godly commitment.
Yes.
Not only just coming to church on Sunday, not only just ushering, not only just coming to Bible study, but our mission statement over at Queen's Chapel say, becoming kingdom focused and disciple strong. Will you go?
Yes.
Moses reviewed the mighty acts of God for the nation of Israel. Remembering God's special involvement in our lives gives us hope and encouragement for the future. Obeying God's laws brought blessings to the Israelites.
Yes.
And disobeying brought misfortune. I don't know if y'all heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Although we are not a part of this covenant, that covenant, we are in a sense. The principle holds true. Obedience and disobedience carry inevitable consequences in the life, in this life, and in the next.
Yes.
Got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He can change you. But you still got to be careful.
Yes.
Those thoughts that come through your mind about harming and putting your mouth on people, you got to be careful.
Mm.
Now, the same is true for Christian men. Men, it's true for us mostly.
Mm-hmm.
We're at all times either growing or dying as men. It may not be obvious to others what spiritual state we are in, because a man can be, y'all seen some of these young men and even some of these old men, a man can be like a bodybuilder. He would be all buffed up on the outside, all dressed up on the outside. You wouldn't know he had bone cancer. Making life look amazing on the outside while dying on the inside. I don't know if y'all missed that. It's easy to dress the part. But can you walk the walk? Can you practice some humility before you become humiliated? But deep within, we all know if we are maturing or wilting. You know it. You know when you're dying in Christ. You know when you ain't prayed this morning. You know when you done put your mouth on somebody. You know when your spirit stinks. Y'all know. So how do we keep growing constantly? How do we keep growing constantly? No matter our age, station in life, or circumstance, how can we keep growing deep in Christ? Well, we can tend to make this spiritual process difficult. It is actually very simple. Today we are going to look at this word. This one word, the way that it's called escape. My attempt today is to break it down in acronyms so that it'll be able to strengthen you in your time of need. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Living Bible, it says, but remember this. The wrong desire, I need you to hear this now. I don't know who I'm preaching to. The wrong desire that comes into your life aren't anything new and different. Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Stop trying to make these situations new. Many others have faced the exact same problems before. And no temptation is irresistible. I don't know about y'all, I still got a little taste for ice cream. My wife, she can tell you that. Matter of fact, when I leave here, I might have to stop up at the Shoppers because I'm running a little low. Yes. The temptation is irresistible sometimes. You can trust God to keep the temptations from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this and will do what he says. God is a way maker. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. He will show you how to escape temptation.
Yes.
Power so that you can bear up patiently against it. I don't know about you, Ebenezer, that's good news. You mean to tell me that the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's? Why do I keep thinking I can fight this spiritual battle? We're going to look at Paul later on. He's going to give you some armament. But God rarely just snatches us miraculously out of situation. How many of y'all can attest to that? You get in a situation, sometimes he make you sit there for a while. He wants you to get a little obedient for a while. He wants you to feel it. Then he gives you his grace and his unmerited favor. 99% of the time, he shows us the way out and then leaves us with the choice. You gonna do right or you gonna do wrong? I remember a commercial back in the day. I think it was it's with something like this. It said, sometimes I feel like a nut, sometimes I don't. I don't know if y'all remember that. I'm dating myself just a little bit. One door is obedience and the other door is disobedience. Sometimes we rather relish ourselves in the disobedience, wrap it up like it's obedience, and never think that somebody else don't know what's going on with you. He allows us the free will to choose from sin. The opportunity is a byproduct of his love and grace. Sometimes without God's pain and letting you sit in that situation, will you understand that grace and mercy has been on you all your life? Too often we act like we have no choice but to sin. Y'all know when you get stuck in those ways. Y'all know when you find yourself doing wrong right. I'll break that down for you. You know, doing wrong right is when you have convinced yourself that I'm doing good, but you're doing wrong. And if you're not careful, you'll have your best friend doing the same thing. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Doing wrong right sometimes. We can always opt out of holiness because of Christ's work on the cross. His work on the cross, his unscathed and unforgivable love towards us. So how does God provide a way of escape and lead us to maturity and growth? I thought you'd never ask. Let's look and use some metaphoric examples, if you don't mind. The first letter in the word escape is E. Men and women of Christ today who have assembled here, this word, this letter of escape stands for environment. The environment we're in today can be so toxic. I know you are like me, I get tired of turning on the news, but I got to. I need to see what's going on in my environment. Violence upon violence, gun shootings, robbery, sex, molestation, marijuana seems like it's the top of the charts today. God places us in unique, instinct situations. But let's look at this environment thing that I would lift up for you this morning in a metaphorical way. Let's look at the goldfish. Some of us, when we were little, had goldfish. They had them in a little teeny bowl. And Mama said, you got to feed the fish or they'll die. But the goldfish and the deer, you remember back before we got all of these buildings, these beltways, the deer had places to go. Both of these animals will only grow to the size of their environment. Only grow to the size of the environment. A goldfish in a 3-gallon bowl will not grow as large as one in a 30-gallon tank. A deer in the mountains of Colorado, oh, I haven't been there yet, but it's on the bucket list. The mountains of Colorado will grow much larger than those in the area where housing construction is shrinking in their feeding area. God gave the goldfish and the deer an innate ability to never outgrow. I want you to stay with me now. To outgrow their environment for survival. The same principle is true on a spiritual level for the Christians. This is most certainly true for Christian men. Your environment. It's Men's Day. What is your environment? The friends we choose. Oh, Lord, the places we go, the media we take in, and the habits we fall into all dictate who we are. Altering and affecting our behavior for good or bad. Over in Proverbs 13, I like the Message Bible as well. I like the way they put it in the Message Bible. It says, Proverbs 13:20, it says, become wise, walk with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. The Word of God already know what it looked like. I don't know about you, I'd rather walk with the wise. I did that thing earlier, and most of us can attest to it, hang out with some fools. As a matter of fact, a song just came to my head, Pastor. I skip a beat every now and then. It say, it take a fool to learn that love don't love nobody. Oh, Lord, y'all didn't hang out with them people. Y'all didn't hang out with them people. Oh, Lord. How many times have you heard about a young man getting in trouble and the explanation, you know, we always give excuses. The explanation is, well, he just fell into the wrong crowd. Yeah. The problem with this statement is that we are never just falling in. Some kind of accidents or forced actions, we're never just falling in. We have made a conscious decision to do wrong. The vast majority of the trouble we get into is because we decide to jump in. How many of y'all ever jumped into sin? Oh, Lord, ain't nobody, everybody here perfect. Anybody never jumped into sin? I don't want to see none of y'all down at MGM. I don't want to see none of y'all down at the liquor store. Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. See, I ain't afraid to talk about it. I know for God I live and for God I die. And if I don't tell the truth up here, it's no use to stand up here being a false prophet. We must choose to spend plenty of time in the right environment to grow and mature. Just stay inspired and challenged, and I will walk with the Lord. The second letter in escape, the letter S. Don't forget, the letter E is environment. What's your environment? The letter S, we'll spend some time with the letter S. The letter S stands for spending time with God. Yeah. How many of you all spend time with God outside of coming to this church? Oh, I don't see a lot of hands. Spend time in prayer. Oh, like I told you early on, Grandma and them, they just hummed and rocked. They was in prayer. They was postured themselves in the Lord, our God. So in Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. I need you to understand, Jesus spent time in prayer. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. where he prayed. Oh, we're looking at this letter as spending time with God. If Jesus could spend time with his Father, God, what's your excuse? Jesus got away from all the distractions and focused on the one thing, his heavenly Father. He talked and he listened. He received instructions and strength for his day. This one-on-one focus time then kicked off all the day conversation between him and his Father. How many of y'all get up in the morning, maybe start with your upper room, find yourself into the Bible verse, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament. Next thing you know, you're walking in grace and you're walking with the Lord, and you find it that your day, whether Arthur caught you this morning or you had to go past that pillbox, you know, you found yourself feeling pretty good. And the next thing you know, by 10 o'clock, you were skipping, talking about, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You woke me up in spite of myself. Oh, Lord. Having conversation. Today, one of the biggest excuses we hear for is not praying is I'm too busy. I'm too busy to pray. Well, we put time in and energy into things we value the most.
Yes.
Our cars, our clothes, our house.
Yes.
This is what a smart man said, one of our African-American leaders, Dr. Martin Luther King, once said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first three hours in prayer. You can only wonder why Dr. Martin Luther King was praying. The enemy was at his door. But this is the exact opposite concept regarding prayer in today's society. If there is that much going on in your life, then we can't afford to skip prayer. Spending time with God, E-S. Let's take a look at the third letter in escape. The letter C stands for claiming scripture. Claiming scripture. Put it on your heart.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a little boy, and every time I see this child, she's in here today, and she's not a child, she's a grown woman. And I was in my bed of affliction. God was in the process of changing me, Pastor. And a child, you know, a lot of times a child can give you direction.
Yes.
My daughter said to me, I said, honey, what's your favorite scripture? She said, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it's been on my heart ever since. If my people who are called by my name,
yes,
humble themselves.
Yes.
She was giving me a word. She was telling me, Daddy, it's going to be okay. They already put their mouth on you, Daddy. You had already been through the fiery pit like Paul and like Eat Me, Shadrach and Abednego. You had already seen hell, Daddy. God about to wake you up. But claim scripture, sometimes you can get it from a child. If you don't have your own scripture, you might want to get one to hold on to. I'll give you one in Matthew 4:11-1. It's one of the most mystical and intricate passage of the Bible where Jesus meets Satan in the desert. Y'all remember this? Jesus met Satan in the desert. I gotta say it again. Jesus met Satan in the desert. The only weapon Christ used to fight and escape the devils is God's word. The word of God he used. Matthew 4, somewhere around the third verse, it says, the tempter came to him and said, this is what the devil said to Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. They was in the wilderness. Satan wants us to doubt God's ability to provide.
Yes.
His ability to provide. So we'll depend on ourselves not God. He wants us to take matters into our own hands. Just like the one in the Garden of Eden, y'all remember. To take control of our lives and not to submit to God. Still on in Matthew, Jesus answered Satan. You remember, we're looking at the word seed, claiming scripture. You gotta be able, you can't fight a spiritual situation with a worldly scripture because it ain't no worldly scriptures. You're gonna have to know how to battle. The word of God will keep your enemies away. Yeah, so Jesus was tempted. Satan wants all of our thoughts, minds, and hearts. Okay. Jesus answered Satan. Jesus said, it is written in Matthew to let Satan know that he couldn't have him, that man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We are constantly needy, and God is our only real source of provision, church. In Matthew 4, Jesus uses scriptures to protect himself from Satan. So if Jesus uses scriptures to protect himself from the tempter who we call Satan, why don't you, or how come you haven't learned to quote some scripture or to burn some scripture on your spirit so that you can be able to exist in this world? Yeah. Paul gives us a little bit about the spiritual warfare. I'll get to that in a little bit. Pastor, don't let me be too long. We're going somewhere this morning. In verse 5 in Matthew, the devil did it again. And then the devil took Jesus, took him to the holy city of Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Mental health was real even back then. Jump off. The scripture says he will order his angels to protect you. They will hold you up in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scripture says, you must not test the Lord your God. Yes. Satan showed off his knowledge of scripture by quoting. You know, Satan, he was a fallen angel. Where'd he fall from? He fell from grace. Did he come to church? I would imagine he was in church. Do he know some scripture? I believe he knows some scripture. That's how he know to attack you when you don't know it. And say, Satan showed off his knowledge of scripture by quoting Psalms 91. Just give a little bit, 91, 1 through 12. I'm not going to go all the way through that. But the only reason Jesus would have jumped is to prove that God would protect him, which would actually indicate a lack of faith and the presence of doubt. God never needs us to prove his power to anyone. God is all power, all might, all glory. Yet his power is available to us to stop the enemy's intrusion into our lives. We must never intentionally place ourselves in a situation to test God's love, to prove his power. Evidence of this great mercy and grace are available every day all around us. The enemy wants us to thirst for power. I gotta say that again. Wants us to thirst for power. Get your credit score right. Wants us to thirst for power. I need to get another job to pay for the lottery tickets. To thirst for power. He needs me to go ahead on it. To thirst for power and control just as he does. Devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And once you give in, then the greed for more kicks in. The vicious cycle begins. Oh, I must be preaching to myself. The vicious cycle begins. moving us further and further from God. The next time Satan comes to tempt you and question God's provision, protection, and power, claim God's word. Remember, this is the next letter, claiming God's word. Claim God's word out loud to the devil. Speak to the devil. Get behind me, Satan. Speak to the devil. Our words don't put him in his place, but God's word put him to his place. What I'm talking about is, get behind me, dear Satan. If Satan come to me, I'm going to say, well, I'm not feeling that inadequate today. No, I got to speak the word.
Yes.
The fourth letter in this word, escape, is the letter A. This one, gentlemen, is for us. All of it's for us. All of it's for us, whether you're a man or a woman. The letter A is for accountability.
Yes.
You need to have accountability partners. Because who are you when ain't nobody looking? Accountability is where one lives. Accountability is everywhere in our lives. Excuse me. Everywhere in our lives. Accountability. They hold us accountable, Pastor. If I go down, what's this, Woodfield Chapel Road, at about 80 miles an hour, there's a high possibility that if it ain't a speed camera on there, police might stop me.
Yes.
Speed limits, tests. For the children today to be able to go to the next level or the grade, they got to take tests. And sometimes even we do our evaluations on the job, our job performance reviews. Sometimes we get hesitant and don't know what the supervisors see in us. But the accountability to create discipline and protection for this society is what I'm talking about. Spiritual accountability for the Christian man has two purposes. One being spiritual growth. We are gotta be accountable men, not just the UMM, all men. We have to reach back to grab some of our young men, those ones who are still sagging their pants, smoking on the corner. Oh, we can't judge them, because I don't know about you. Some of us, we might not have stood on the corner smoking, but I know I did some crooning on the corner. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Ain't that what we did, Rodney? Yeah, I did some crooning on the corner with some Wild Irish Rose and Richards and some more people. Yeah, spiritual growth. And then we have moral growth. We need to grow morally. Remember, we're talking about accountability. Spiritual growth is our offense. Moral protection is our defense.
Yes.
They don't say this no more, Pastor. I remember Mom and them used to say, boy, you leave out this house, practice some moral scruples and values. You remember that? Moral scruples and values. Because when you leave out this house, boy, you represent me.
Yes.
And I represent the body of Christ.
Yes.
Didn't even understand. Miss Elsie understood when I stood up on that corner with that bottle, and she called back. Then they had the grapevine where you could grab the phone off the wall. Y'all remember the long cord. And they dialed number. Elsie, he's up here. He's doing something strange. And before I got down the road, Miss Elsie beat me. Mama beat me. Then the worst one was when Daddy came home from work. And I still was living in sin. Because he said, boy, what happened today? I said, nothing. And Daddy said, you're lying again. And back then, you know, they had a way of taking care of mental health. And I don't know if y'all, they had a way of taking care of your mental health problems. It wasn't with no pill, let me just say that. In today's society, they would call it child abuse, but it really wasn't child abuse. It was accountability. It was taking care of your neighborhood. It was, I am my brother's keeper. Yeah, so years ago, I was reading something the other day. Years ago, an author, a seminary professor, I read this. His name was Howard Hendricks. He studied 246 cases of Christian leaders who fell morally. And he found found one of the main ingredients was that men had no professional accountability. It says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says, this is what accountability looks like for men, and now we have women in here today, so I'm not going to be prejudiced. This is what accountability looks like, accountability partners. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other person can reach back and help the fallen person. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can we be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. This is the word of the Lord. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This principle is called synergism or synergy. The combined action of two things being greater than the sum of their efforts. Working alone much more can be done in the team effort than can be done, that can be accomplished solo.
Yes.
You can do more together than you can do by yourself. Amen. Accountability creates synergy. As we work together in team of men, took a team to render the word this morning, to render the songs this morning.
Yes.
Not to say the soloist couldn't have done it. But it took a team. Accountability creates synergy as we work together in teams of men, whether three or 300. Men, we must work together to hold each other accountable.